listening to an Atomic Broadcasting production. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the feature presentation. And remember, do your part, such as like, comment, rate, and don't forget to tell a friend to tune in for an Atomic Time.
So yeah, Blades in the Dark, very fascinating setting, of course. Because one thing, there is no sun.
Yeah, no sun. 847 years ago, the cataclysm happened, which caused a volcano to erupt, the sun to explode and fracture, and the stars to delve into the sea.
No son, only daughter.
Yep.
No, no daughter. Yes. Only the immortal emperor.
With the cataclysm, a bunch of scary things happen, such as ghosts are very much real.
Yeah.
There's ghosts, not superstition demons, they're there. No, they vampires, are in fact a thing.
Yeah.
And as a made obvious in the last episode.
Yeah.
And the city we live in is surrounded by a wall made of lightning due to weird alchemical science magic.
Powered by basically what's... Oh, you can have this pencil back.
Oh, thanks.
What's basically demon blood and ghost goo.
Yeah.
Very scientific.
Yeah. This is the world we live in. It is terrifying.
I love it. I love the setting of this game really so much. Cool. I really got into the lore when reading the book.
I would watch a movie based
My wife was reading a book. Oh, goodness. She's going to kill me because I don't remember the name. Rook and Rose. It's a series, and like that whole setting, I was like, you could just run Blades in the Dark with this setting. It slots in so perfectly.
I feel like it could be like a series of like TV shows or something that you could have like multiple different characters have different stories going on, and kind of like a Heroes situation where you'd have like a bunch of different storylines going on. Maybe they'd all combine at the end or something.
Some sort of anthology.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. A Blades in the Dark TV series.
I'd watch it.
I would, but then I'd probably be disappointed because you know how those kinds of things happen.
Well, as long as they got the world right, I wouldn't care because it's not like a character I can grip onto. Except for your guys' characters, of course.
I will say, Tales from the Loop, the show when they did that based on that setting was like, Sam and I only watched a couple episodes because the vibe was on point and that made it difficult to watch because it was really good, but yeah. Yeah.
Nice. I didn't know they had a show.
It was good. Yeah. I think it was like through Amazon though.
Speaking of good things or bad things in this scenario.
Yeah.
Your character is standing there paralyzed in fear as your compatriots, your partners in crime are going through different aspects of the warehouse putting up the coin you just grabbed.
Wait, they just passed by me?
You're in a different section of it.
Oh, I thought that I was the first one to enter.
You were
the
first one to enter. This is no. You've been moving around. You're not sure whether to chalk it up to survival instincts or what, but every ounce of you tells you not to move and not to look over in the corner.
My survival instincts have sucked, and I am curious. Do I have the willpower to move my eyes that direction?
Now, here's the thing. You can do this. I'm not going to tell you what's going to happen if you don't say yes to this. Do you want to make a resist roll? I will tell you, if you say yes, I will tell you what happens because of your resist roll before you roll.
Counter question.
Mm-hmm.
Can I speak?
Oh, yeah, you could speak. Your voice is kind of trapped in your throat, but with enough, like... willpower you can overcome, and it's pretty simple eventually.
I do not look. I close my eyes and I let out the manliest and most demure yell that I can possibly muster up.
Can we hear a little bit of it?
You just hear kind of a muffled, like a
That sound radiates throughout your guys' hidden safe house. Do you guys go to see what it is?
Nah, he's fine.
As you enter the room, your eyes, without even you realizing it, sort of are automatically directed to the floor when you enter, sort of putting your head in sort of a polite bow. And when you get too far into the room, again, a bolt of electricity, a bolt of nerves, goosebumps fly up your spine, and you're stuck in place, unable to move, and you have the same feeling that it'll be okay as long as you don't look in the corner. And then what breaks the silence is from the corner as you hear just, "Where's my artifact?"
"The artifact was sold."
"To who?"
The Dimmer Sisters.
I don't have time to deal with them. Well, it seems you all have made a grave mistake. Olivia.
Mm-hmm.
And Petite.
Yes.
Both of you would recognize this voice. It is a very well-known voice throughout the city. He is known to live in Brightstone. He is known to sometimes be a recluse, sometimes not. But I think the most important thing that he is known for is being the only other thing that exists aside from the Immortal Emperor that is immortal. Standing in your corner is Lord Skurlock. He is so powerful that he has been known to take out a massive gang all by himself. And depending on his mood, people find it hard to look at him. Nobody's really sure how he's immortal, whether or not he's a sorcerer, a vampire, some ghost, but you know that he has power and influence.
Immediately after he says, "We have made a grave mistake," you can see that Devlin's eyes are fighting themselves, almost cross-eyed at this point, because he has reopened them as the others came in. And he daggers down at the floor, and he says, "We can get it back for you if you need it. It's not a problem."
"It's a little too late for that. The Dimmer Sisters have already tainted it with their own rituals. However, you can still be of use to me." He's starting to move closer and closer. And as he's moving closer, again, just without even thinking, your eyes and head are moving more toward the ground until all you can see are his feet.
"I don't know if I'm allowed to speak for all of us, but I think we can make an arrangement. Absolutely more in your favor if that's how you see it."
I do want to mention, nothing after you realize that you're being forced to look at the ground is compelling you to continue to look at the ground.
Colm is, not knowing him, because he doesn't work in those circles of society, is terrified of both the influence he thinks of the man, but then also he is scared of the spirits and ghosts of the banshee they saw earlier. So he's very much just eyes to the ground. Nope.
You're
just
on edge.
Oh, yeah.
"We'll come to an arrangement, and it will be to my benefit. Give me time. I will return. For now, enjoy your coin." And almost like a ghost, he sort of walks out without making a single sound. And as he leaves the room, that a sort of like pressure is lifted, and you all can go back to your normal lives.
How did he find our hideout?
Honestly, I'm just happy it went so well. Thank you, Dolly.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
I'll talk through things. I mean, if it wasn't any burden to you others, I would have probably given him some of the coin. But he didn't ask for that.
I think he has all the coin he needs.
True. But I guess more would never hurt. At least an offering.
Might have been an insult at that point.
That's true. Well, as long as we get the other stashed away, I think we should be fine.
We just owe a favor to very, very powerful, very, very scary man.
That knows where we stay at.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I think I'd prefer that over being not alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd rather not get dumped in the canal tonight.
With him gone, you're not sure when he will come back. But we have now entered what is known as downtime. You all have two actions you can do. Downtime can be used to lick your wounds, to indulge in your vice, which lowers your stress, to acquire an asset for an upcoming job, to tinker, to basically do anything that doesn't involve stealing or skullduggery.
Can you only do one of those things, or can you do multiple?
You can do, so you have two actions. So you can do, you can like heal twice, you can indulge your stress twice, you can work on a goal that you have, like a personal goal, twice if you'd like. It is up to you on how you use these two actions.
First thing Colm will do, having dealt with that situation and getting everything kind of put away in the hideout we have, he will go spend some time at, I think it's in the night market at the Vale. It is a social club, kind of a house of ill repute, to just blow off some steam if he can, relax after having seen the events of the spirit that they had happen to cross, and also his dense team that don't know what it's like to walk with a light step.
All right, so what you do, you visit your purveyor of your vice and you roll a dice equal to your lowest attribute. So whatever that is for you, let's see, I believe that is insight.
Yep.
So you get one dice.
I rolled a 4.
So you will reduce your stress by 4. There was no chance of you overindulging, so you don't need to worry about that for now. But who wants to go next?
I would like to heal.
To recover, or to get treatment. You see that little clock? You need to fill that up. Now, treatment does require you to go see a doctor, basically. Now, as your crew does not have a doctor, you'll have to just go to one and probably pay for their services. But thankfully, you just got paid, so it's not that big of a deal.
I'm okay with that. I'm used to being within society, so.
Go ahead and roll, we'll say like 4 dice. If you want to spend a coin, it'll be more.
A whole coin?
Yeah, a whole coin. Doctors are expensive.
I don't want to spend a whole coin.
Okay, yeah. Then go ahead and roll 4 dice and tell me what you get.
In fact, I'd like to try to sway him into giving me free service.
It's not going to be free service.
Cheaper service?
But yeah, if you want to sway, go ahead and make me a sway roll.
All right. So that is a 5.
So we'll say you get an extra die for that. So roll 5 dice with no extra charge.
Ooh. 1 6, 3 5s, and 1 4.
All right, we'll take the 6. So you heal 3 segments on your clock. You did not get a critical, and you cannot remove that harm yet.
And I don't believe that I am in the position to need to reduce stress yet, because I do not want to accidentally overindulge.
Okay. So we will come back to you for your second activity, Olivia.
I think Summer's pretty stressed out, I would say, especially after our unexpected visitor, so I would like to probably indulge in work, over-indulge in work, probably compared to the usual just work. Probably writing human interest pieces about new Jell-O salads, because gelatin's a really useful thing these days.
So you're going to indulge in your vice, which is your day job at your newspaper.
The Flocking, yeah.
Oh, that's such a good name.
Thank you. I rolled the 1.
Reduce 1 stress.
Yay! It's not very useful working to try and reduce my stress.
Colm will, so with the more time he's afforded, will go to visit his sister's home, Cecilia. And bringing some of the coin they earned from the job, he will go there, visit Cecilia and his nephew, Arthur. And he will provide her with 1 coin to help keep them in comfortable living, and also so they don't have to resort to extreme measures.
Let's say, as long as you visit your family and provide them coin, you are allowed to treat this as one of your vices to reduce stress without the fear of overindulging. This will not count as a vice if you get trauma and are forced to go to your vice more often.
Mm-hmm.
But for the sake of reducing stress and allowing this to have some in-game currency, so to speak, we'll say that. Does that sound fair?
I think that's fair. It's also kind of the idea of like this is his long-term project, but it's also his ongoing project.
Okay. Because
you really can't just
you can
buy their way into never having to
work. Yeah, so if you want this to be your ongoing project, which you can have a reoccurring clock, we can say for every coin you provide them, it fills the clock, so to speak. The clock will be a countdown clock in this mm-hmm. case, to where for every coin you provide them is another month you don't have to worry about it.
Okay.
Fill the clock up 3 rungs. You can make it a 12 pip clock for 12 months out of the year, a 4 pip clock to make sure you stay on top of it. Up to you on how you want to do that, just as long as you're keeping track of it as you go.
Let me roll for that then. 3. So I'm down to only 1 stress remaining.
Petite?
I'd like to attend a gala.
Okay, what would you like this to function as?
A way to network and information gather.
Okay. We will go ahead and say you can do this, and whenever we're gathering information or if we need to gather information for the next heist, this will give you an additional die for that. Does that sound fair?
That does sound fair.
Okay. Go ahead and roll, because if you get a critical success, you will get an additional die in addition to that.
I will give a consort roll.
A 1. We're going to say you still get the additional dice for gathering information. However, in addition to the heat you will gain for the heist you guys just did, you will gain 1 additional heat due to Petite's actions. Olivia?
I'd like to use, while I'm working, I'm probably going to try and use a little extra of the time to practice and train. I'm not sure if I want to put it into prowl or sway, though.
So how training works is you choose either insight, prowess, or resolve, and you fill in a tick for that box. Once all of those ticks are done, you can then fill in an additional pip on your train, on whatever skill is under those groupings. I do want to mention you do gain an additional experience point when training prowess due to your shadow playbook.
Yeah, let's do it in prowess.
Okay, so add 2 ticks of experience and prowess, which brings us neatly to something we skipped over, and we're probably not going to be doing this after every heist because it's very time consuming. But for the sake of explaining how it works, you guys, since you successfully completed a heist, all get to go through and do your XP tracker. Now, everyone gains XP just for playing the game and being here, and that's fantastic. But you also gain XP for doing things during the heist. So I'm looking at Devlin's sheet right now as a slide. So anytime he rolled a desperate action, which I believe Devlin did roll 1 desperate action, he gets an XP, and you only get 2 XP if it occurred multiple times. If you addressed a challenge with deception or influence, which I would say you did, you gain another XP. If you expressed your beliefs, drives, heritages, or backgrounds, which I'm not sure if you did, that I'll leave that one up to you. What do you think?
The only thing I could think of would be using my ghost voice.
Okay, if you want that, yeah.
Because it does involve knowing how to communicate.
I'm not sure if you struggled with issues from your vice or trauma, did you?
No.
So yeah, that would total up to 3 experience points. Now you can separate that again in your playbook, insight, prowess, or resolve, up to you. If you want to focus on your playbook to get another skill, if you want to increase your pips so you're just better rounded, that's fine. Looking at Colmes, of course, everyone has the desperate action option. All of them are basically the same going through. Colmes is a little different though. I don't believe you did a desperate action, is that correct?
I don't think I did, but I thought he did when he did the second check.
Yes,
to the ghost.
He did the desperate action. Did you address the challenge using stealth or evasion?
Yes, between locking the door, like picking the locks and trying to just quietly approach the man and everything.
Did you express your beliefs, drives, heritage, or background in any way?
Kind of express it in like his background of like being modest, living, you know, not really being aware of rich people's houses. things like that.
Did you, I'm not sure if you struggled with your vice or trauma or anything yet. I think that one's going to take a minute to come up, since
certainly for the trauma, because none of us have a trauma yet. As for vice, he didn't struggle with it this time, but I imagine he would have been like, not the wine, but he didn't make a issue out of that, so no.
Alright, Olivia, let's go ahead here. Did you make a desperate action?
I did not.
Okay. Did you address the challenge using calculation or conspiracy?
Absolutely. I even did a flashback about
it. You did do a flashback about it. Did you express your beliefs, drives, heritages, or backgrounds?
Probably not really.
Okay. Did you struggle with issues from your vice or trauma during the session?
Nah.
Okay. So, unfortunately, that's only one pip for you. In addition to that, since you did complete a heist, your crew gets experience points. Now, I'm going to go ahead and keep track of that on my end here and let you guys know when you level up, because there's only one spot. There's not a choice for you here. You guys did execute a successful espionage, sabotage, or theft, so that's one XP for that. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Connected with challenges above your current station. I'm going to say no technically on that one. You were robbing a dilapidated manor. Pretty simple. You did probably bolster your crew's reputation a little bit with this heist. Lord Skurlock is now aware of you. And let's see, you did express the goals and drives and inner conflict of the essential nature of your crew, which you guys are very ambitious in trying to steal something worth so much coin you don't have enough room for it is pretty ambitious. So 3 XP total. With the downtime done, you guys find yourself back into your hideout. You haven't heard anything from Lord Skurlock in a while. You're not sure how he's going to contact you, and you're just sort of anxiously pacing and waiting until something happens. It's sort of like having a target on your back and not knowing when the gun's going to fire.
So has anybody heard anything or got to, I guess, do any research on anything?
No research on my end.
Unless you want to know the intricacies of how to properly prepare your gelatin, but not like Carol's. And while she's talking, she's like, for work to the side, she's like preparing different gelatin molds of things because she's like half stress baking. And she will feed it to you and you will have to eat it. And it is like 50s Jell-O salads.
Ooh.
Like, no, I haven't gotten any research done because I can't focus on anything right now.
Devlin's giving you kind of a half smile and he's not really listening to what you're saying, but he is looking at you type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
He just, well, I did try to look for more marks, but nobody was really willing to talk. It's a bit of an interesting situation. Usually I'm able to get more people to talk with me.
I don't know if Lord Skurlock's the kind of spread rumors or not. I don't know how your upper crust works.
That's true. Every time I started to talk about it, I just got his feet in my head. I'd say his face, but I can't remember his face. I don't think I looked at it.
And almost as on cue to you saying that, Lord Skurlock doesn't really arrive, more of appears behind all of you.
He's behind me, isn't he?
You feel that tension, that pressure in the room come back. You're a little more accustomed to it now that this is the second time being around him when he's being intimidating. But you don't feel the need to look down any longer. He sort of says, I didn't want you to see my face.
Well, you do have lovely feet.
Thank you. I know how you all will help me.
Wonderful, wonderful. We've been looking for something.
What do you know of the silver nails?
Well, they're silver. They're nails.
Colm and Summer would know about this. If Colm, it sounds like you wanted to take the lead.
They're a little bit like the Demon Sisters. They deal with spooky things. They deal with that same stuff as them anyways, but they aren't so loud about it like the Demon Sisters are. The sisters put out jobs just asking anybody to give them stuff. The Silver Nails usually take care of their own.
Well, they've recently become a thorn in my side. You see, I have a place out in the Lost Districts, and they've seemed to try and make it their own home. I could normally deal with them myself, but I don't feel like it. That is where you all will come in. You will go to my abode out in the Lost Districts and get me my other artifact.
Are we going to be attacked by anything with this one?
You're gonna need to prepare, or you will die. You get the sense that he doesn't think about ghosts often for some reason.
Do you have traps in place we'll have to get past?
Oh, most definitely. But I'll explain how to get past them. First, you need to prepare, of course. You can't make your way to the Lost District without the proper equipment.
Of course. We got lots of ideas on how to plan for that.
I'm sure you do. Allow me to add to them, and he explains that through his connections, he was able to find a few things that he thinks might come in handy. He's not sure the timing of it, but he knows that eventually there is going to be a sort of mobile shielding against the electric fences that you can use to make a gateway through. That way you might not have to walk all the way from the electro lines through the barren waste to the Lost District. It might make your travel there a little faster coming from inside the walls. He also mentioned something that makes petite ears ring a little bit, as his college that he works at has been working on a prototype for a more explosive way to deal with spirits. The spirit wardens in blue coats are saying that the spirit bane charms aren't enough anymore, and they want something with a little more firepower. So that might come in handy to deal with the more stronger spirits that might accompany such an artifact. Also, he admits, in due to his how old he is, he's not 100% certain where his base is located, as it is well hidden out in the Lost Districts. So he mentions a tool that you can go look for to find it easier, like something to detect large amounts of life essence or spirit energy.
So I believe one of the most important things is getting out of here. I think we should go for the mobile shielding first. Then, of course, yes. We can deal with the things on the outside. We may be able to do something with that firepower. I can use my connections to attempt something.
I think we should handle one at a time, but...
Well, absolutely. I wasn't thinking about doing it all at the same time.
But I think, Lord Skurlock, that Devlin here was trying to say is we are very appreciative of this offer, and we will do our best to help take care of this minor problem for you.
Good. Now, I'll let you all do your planning and heisting. I have more important matters to deal with. You have, we'll say, a month. Should give you enough time.
Sounds good to me.
Again, he doesn't walk out this time like he did last time. He just sort of doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, I was going to offer him some salad.
I was going to turn around and just start talking and be like, what about that? I wasn't... Oh, he's gone. Okay.
Well, we got something to... Hopefully we get paid for this, or at least cover for our debts, so we can get the attention off of us, hopefully.
Well, I don't know. We could always sell it after we're done with it.
I think he's asking us to get it for him, and not for our own sake.
No, we ain't selling this one.
No, I didn't mean the... artifact. I meant the tools that we're getting.
Oh, yeah.
So we get the tools, we use them, and then we sell them.
Hopefully they're not one-time use, but yeah, they'd be a pretty handy trick. But I think you're right that our job's not necessarily getting anywhere easy if we can't get past the wall in a short distance. So maybe it'd be best to make our first move with the tip to get that key, perhaps, before anyone else has a chance to act on it.
I agree.
Shall we start to prepare for that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, let's figure out where to begin. Who even has that?
Let's go ahead and get some gathering information going. Due to Petite, you will get a +1 to gathering this information. I am going to go ahead and give you another additional dice, though, because the heist is to gather information, just because the heist is taking place in the night market. You would already know that, because if you're going to find anything, it's going to be in the night market. So who wants to roll and how?
I do think that Spider does tend to lean a little towards that. I think so, if that's all right with the others.
Yeah. I think the night market's known for, like, merchants that come in through the rail. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if they'd be aware of those things.
Merchants, exotic spices and things like that, all coming through the Electro Rail, all funneled through the night market into the city.
Okay, so a lot of them would have, if they didn't directly, a lot of them would have contacts who do cross through, and there would probably be varying degrees of chatter on that.
Yeah.
So that is probably what I will look for then.
Okay, so that's going to be consort, I believe you're looking for.
And I'm probably going to disguise it as getting stories for the paper.
Yeah, that's a pretty good disguise. You know. So you already have 2 in consort, it looks like. You said you're going to use the weaving the web. So that's going to give you another +1, and then you get an additional +1 due to Petite's downtime activity.
I have a 4.
Okay, a 4 is good enough.
Thanks, Petite.
So, with a 4, you do gain the information that within, on a certain date, at a certain time, the Electro Rail is going to be coming in with the sort of movable Faraday cage, movable shield for you guys to steal. It is a prototype. It is meant to be shipped off directly to both of the colleges. It's making sort of a tour around. It's going to go to the college in Charter Hall first, and then it's going to go to Petite's college. The best time to steal it, though, would be as it's being unloaded from the train. Knowing that, some other roadblocks, though, just because you already know it's going to be there, is the Bluecoats. They're highly in the area of the night market, but you guys paid them off a little bit, slicking the wheel, so they might not be as much of a barricade as once thought, but they're still going to exist, and it might be a little bit difficult to move this shield around. With that stated now, unless there are any more questions or any more things you would like to do, we can choose your approach.
I am curious about potentially looking at the other school and seeing what they kind of have as their security measures, just in case we don't have a successful heist.
Okay, that's definitely something you can do. You would know that that school security measures isn't as up to par as your school's security measures, since your school is sort of a more militant school right next to the Spirit Warden's sort of home of operation. You would know that it's broken up into more of a campus than yours is, which is still a campus, but it's a larger class building, sort of like a
more
normal
conjoined.
Yeah, more conjoined. You're not sure what additional security might bring with the moving of this object, so if that's what you want to look into, you can. But just because you're in the school space and stuff, you kind of understand basic school security, you know, like not allowed on campus without, you know, proper, like jumping through the hoops and getting like a badge saying you're allowed there and stuff like that. But again, you're not sure of the extra security. So if you want to look into that, feel free. Just tell me what you want to roll and we'll go from there.
As I'm unsure if we're actually going to even need that, I probably won't do anything.
Okay, that's fine.
I guess the other question we have, so you know, Summer knows that the cage is coming in. Do we know how big it is? Like, do we need to maybe see if we can get acquire a cart just to get it moved quickly?
So, unfortunately, that would be the acquire asset thing, which is a downtime activity, and you don't have any more downtime activities. So, you know it's supposed to be a mobile cage, but that could mean it requires 4 people to pick it up and move it. That could mean it folds down. You're not really sure how big it would be, but if you're going to need a cart or anything, that's going to have to be something done on mission.
How much pushback from the blue coats would we get, considering we paid them off?
Yeah, you know that the blue coats like you. You paid them off, you sweetened their pockets a little bit. So the blue coats around the night area are willing to turn a little bit of a blind eye towards you. Like if they see you robbing a house or roughing somebody up, they might, like, you know, lean more on the air of caution and be like, oh, they're just, you know, being good neighbors, making sure everything's okay in that house. They're helping that person across the street. Nothing major. But you're not sure if they'd let you walk around with a experimental giant or not giant cage that you stole from the train. They might be willing to turn another blind eye for more greased pockets, but that'll have to be on a base-by-base basis.
I think we have all the information that we need.
Okay, so what do you guys want to... How do you guys want to tackle this? This is sort of how you plan for things. I did all the planning last time just to kind of push things along faster. But you can choose assault, deception, stealth, occult, social, or transport. And this is sort of how you plan on enacting the heist. So assault is you do violence. This would be you charge the train, you take no prisoners, steal the thing, run away as fast as possible. Deception is lie, trick, manipulate. Stealth, as we've seen last time, is sneaking, trying to not be seen. Occult is engaging in supernatural powers to try and get what you want. Social is trying to work your way through the interconnected webs of the social hierarchy to steal what you need. And then transport kind of fits here, but doesn't really, because it's more about carrying people and cargo through dangerous territory and making a delivery more so than what this is.
So I can either use my connections with the school and say that I am transporting it, or we can be stealthy and just straight up steal it.
I'm personally more inclined for stealth, but I'm thinking for you guys, maybe deception, if you can convince someone that, hey, yeah, we're here to pick up the package like we suspected, and then we just take it our way. I'm not sure it'd be that easy, but I mean, like, you know, convince them that we are the right people to take the package, and I can sneak in, maybe be a guy like driving the cart and just be like, yep, I recognize them, they're good, and we go our way or something. I'm sure we'll have to handle some people that actually are trying to take it for where it's supposed to go.
So it sounds like between stealth or social?
Social deception is what I was thinking, but stealth, yeah.
Okay, so let's go ahead then and move on and select the item loadout. So how much stuff are you bringing to your thing? Now, we kind of talked about this previously in the last episode, but item loadouts are something you pick beforehand. You don't actually have to choose the items that you bring in. That comes along with gameplay. You can choose light load, which is 3 items, normal load, which is 5 items, and heavy load, which is 6. Light load is very inconspicuous. Nobody knows you're carrying all this stuff on you. It's like a casual walk through the park. Normal load is a mid between light and heavy, to where if somebody were to really pay attention to you, maybe pat you down, they would notice. And heavy is you are armed to the teeth, ready for a fight. Due to your guys' thief's rigging, you do get an additional free 2 slots to whatever you pick.
I like the idea of getting there before the actual team does. You two are better about talking with people. Do you want me to try to run cover to intercept the actual team, distract them?
Ooh, I think that'd actually be a really good idea, because you could run interference with the actual group, but you could also, if need be, stage a fake attempt. Depending on the situation, interference is probably better, though. But yes, I like that a lot.
So I'm not approaching the cart itself. I will take a heavy loadout.
Okay, so what about you, Petite?
I was thinking light.
Okay, Olivia?
So we're supposed to be the escort for this.
Yes.
I think if someone noticed a normal load, if they noticed it, then they wouldn't think much of it if I'm supposed to be part of the guard service for this item. They'd think, oh yeah, they're just gonna protect the thing. So I don't think they think too much of it, so I'm gonna go with a normal load.
Okay, so we have a light load, a heavy load, and a normal load. Let's get to my fun part where I get to roll the dice. You get one dice for sheer luck for starting this encounter. Is this operation particularly bold or daring? I would say it is. You're trying to steal something in a very crowded area of the city and trying to make it free without getting any heat or people noticing. So that's an additional die. It does kind of seem like it's complex and has a lot of multifaceted plans for you guys to go on. So that's going to immediately take away that dice. Does it expose a vulnerability of the target or hit them where they're weakest?
I thought this was the weakest part, the weakest point of the delivery.
Yeah, that's fair. I did say that, so we'll give you a dice for that. Do any of your friends or contacts, can they help out in any way?
I am friends with a blue coat.
Darn it.
That has helped sometimes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We'll give you an additional dice for his assistance on this. Who knows what he's assisting with? Let's see here. Can any of your enemies or rivals hurt you, though? Be honest with me here.
I don't really know why most of them would have a reason to go after this item. Like, most people don't really want to go to the Lost District.
So we'll say no to that there. Since it is your home base, I'm going to give you an additional die as well. This is your hunting grounds. This is where you normally operate. Little pickpockets you. Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and roll this and see what happens. In the very familiar night market streets to you all, electric lights are a buzz, which are quite the novelty for the city of Duskfall, except for in the richer neighborhoods. You guys make your way through to the night rail with Colm splitting off to find his target. You two, Devlin and Summer, need to find a goat-drawn carriage that is capable of holding and the item, so you can try to pass off as the ones who are transporting it to Charterhall College. What will you do to find this carriage?
Method would be look outside.
I'm basically asking if you are going to try and sneak to steal one, if you're going to just blatantly rob somebody for it. Like
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Blatantly rob.
No. I don't want to threaten people. At least wait till someone's not looking.
All right.
Then be nice to the goats.
I want to look outside and see if there is a house that has a ready-to-go cart, and I'm going to knock on their door.
You are able to... Well, firstly, no, there's not a house. This is the night market. but you are able to find a shop with a ready-to-go cart in the back alley, sort of recently unloaded. The goat is happily munching on its food. It's a very buff goat.
I would like to approach the owner if they are close by.
They are in their shop.
Is that within eyeline?
You can enter the shop.
I mean, like, can they see the goats and the cart?
No, there's a door between them and the goat.
Oh, well, then why don't we just take it?
So instead of approaching the shopkeep, we approach the goat.
I mean, I was just going to ask nicely, but if he can't see it being taken...
We could make a friend out of this, give him a little bit of money and say, hey, can we just borrow your cart for a little while and you don't know anything about it and we bring it back?
You guys are like the nicest thieves.
We don't want anyone to be injured because bad things happen.
We can sneak into the guy's house or we could just talk to him.
Yeah. I might be a criminal, but I insist on being wholesome.
We could steal this goat or we could just talk to him. Anyway, so it's up to you and what you want to do. You can either do what Petite suggested and steal this cart with the goat or try and sway or convince the owner to part with their goat for a little bit.
So I think we should go ahead and steal it, but I think we should leave a note.
Okay. Tell me your reasoning.
The note would say something along the lines of, we'll bring it back. I promise. And that's the reasoning.
Can the note also like include like not like a full coin, but like enough for a nice meal or something?
We could
like
leave wrapped a up carrot. In it.
This goat, which you guys are gonna steal, mm-hmm. he's very happily munching on his goat food and his extra special carrots that were given to him by his owner because he's a very good boy. He doesn't really seem like he wants to leave at all. Upon closer inspection, you see a name tag. It says Francois. And you're going to have to find a way to convince this goat to leave its food behind and go with you.
I don't think he's going to like words.
Yeah, I immediately looked away because, like,
I mean, his food is there. Could we just, like, be holding his food and just use it to lead him away?
When you go near his food, he becomes aggressive. And I keep saying goat. That is not, for those listening at home, that is not a misnomer that I'm not misspeaking. Carriages in this world are drawn by goats, but they're very, very big goats. Not the size of a horse, but they have been bred for pulling carriages in large loads. How do you want to try and persuade this goat to let you steal this carriage?
Give it the Devlin smile.
I'm gonna give it the Devlin smile. I'm gonna sway. That was a 4.
So you give it the Devlin smile, and it seems a little... if a goat could blush, it blushes a little bit. It is willing to listen to you, but you are going to have to constantly survey it and make sure it's not trying to run away. So I'm going to go ahead here, basically, and whenever you guys do something that may cause annoyance to this goat, I'm going to start filling in a clock. When the clock is full, the goat will no longer listen to you and will just do whatever the goat wants.
I'm going to look at the goat, continue with my smile, and just go,
it mahs back at you. You guys make your way to the Electro Rail Station with goat and carriage in tow. Colm.
Yes.
You've been absent.
Mm-hmm.
You are at the edge of the night market, waiting. You've found yourself perched up a little bit, trying to look over the night market's various shops and apartments above the shops for the shop owners, trying to look for the actual transport vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and give me a roll to see if you can find it.
I'd like to hunt for it.
Okay.
Do you mind like hunting for it? Looks like, you know, more academic type. I imagine the schools bring people to transport it to the university. Rolled a 4 on hunt.
So you're able to find it pretty easily. It's just now entering from the bridge connecting Night Market to Charter Hall. It's making its way down. It doesn't really seem as though it's on guard or anything, but if you're not too careful, you're going to lose it. You can assume it's going to take the most direct route, which is the main street. How do you want to try and stall? While you think about that, I do just want to explain. Because Colm has decided to do this, I have a separate clock. It is an 8-tick clock. The goat clock, by the way, is 4 ticks. For every time Colm fails his rolls to try and distract this cart or delay it, it will get some ticks in it. When it's full, that means they've arrived to the Electro Rail, and hopefully that does not happen until after our other compatriots have made their getaway.
I think what I will try to do, trying to just slow down their path a bit along the street. This is something that I'm not sure. This is something I'm thinking about. Bear with me here and not being messy with it. How nervous are people about going down dark roads or streets, things like that? Especially in the night market.
It is well known that if an alleyway or street doesn't have its lanterns on, that there's criminal activity afoot, and you should avoid it if at all possible if you don't want to get roughed up. In the night market, it would be very weird to see a street not lit up, especially since a lot of the lights are coming from shops themselves, not just the lanterns in the street.
I think what Cole might try to do is pacing himself ahead of the cart and everything, so they have, so like giving them time to react, to hopefully maneuver differently right now. He might try to find a way to cut power to a section of the street to make it go dark and to make them go like, let's not go that road, and hopefully take longer. Still trying to be silent, like, you know, he's trying to still be stealthy about it and not immediately draw their heat, but he's still going to give them the spooks with the lights are out. Let's not go there.
To not waste too much time on that, I will offer you a devil's bargain. You will be able to find and easily explode a transformer. You will roll.
Okay.
Most likely wreck. And based off how you roll with wreck, will determine on if people die or not. Just for everyone listening, when people die in this world, a bell is tolled by the soul wardens so they know to come and collect the dead. Because if they don't collect the dead soon enough, spirits form, and it can cause a catastrophe. The dead get used to power the electric thing. It's a whole side thing. Look it up. It's cool. Not going to get into that now. So, do you accept my bargain?
Yes.
Okay.
For the benefit of the people, because I don't have a pip and wreck, I will roll and push myself so I get one die.
Okay.
And not take the lower of two.
Okay.
Hopefully no one dies, but thinking about it and Colm thinking about it, like, someone might get hurt with it, so that's what he's thinking. He's not thinking someone might die. That could only help be more of a distraction for some of these people. One die roll. Four.
The... however you decided, the transformer explodes and the main street lights going from Charter Hall to the night market go out, almost knocking out a whole block from in between the two sides.
I'm thinking I could mark off demolition tools, two pips.
Okay.
If I may.
Yeah. And in doing so, thankfully nobody has died. Somebody is injured, of course, so it's caused a bit of a panic. And a fire did break out. I'm going to start another clock. It's going to be a 12-tick clock. This will just be casually ticking down in the background. I'm not going to be making rolls because I'm not supposed to. But the more it ticks down, if it gets full, basically all of Night Market, or that side of Night Market, is going to be lost to the flames. But you are successful in deterring them, so they will not gain any marks toward their inevitable end to get to the thing. Now, back to our main two. You make it to the station, you pull up, there's a small line. As the train comes in, people are unloading everything. It's chaos, pandemonium, as they're trying to get the goods out of the train as fast as possible. And you see it. The thing you're looking for, it's very obvious what it is. It looks like a sort of accordion-esque tunnel that can be expanded out and in. It is rather large, big enough to accompany one person at a time, and it can be extended out to cover an entrance, the center between the electric fences, and then an exit. That way the electricity doesn't jolt off and shoot someone, for safety, of course. It looks rather heavy, so it's probably a good thing you grabbed this cart. And as you guys stroll up to it, you notice the person sitting there marking off items as they're being taken. That's probably going to be the guy you have to convince to allow you to take this item.
So within my item list, I have a disguise kit, and I would like to quickly disguise myself as the most important looking person that would be coming from a school, or like an admin, an administrator, someone who is very important, who is accompanying his arms.
And to assist you in that, I have fine cover identity that I will have set up for you.
And the disguise kit marks off of one of yours, but the identity does not mark off any of yours. All right, so as you walk up, he, without looking up from his list, just says, item?
The carriage. We had to pick it up.
Carriage. You have a
No, sorry, no.
The cage.
Yeah, that.
The cage. Do you know the item number? Any sort of flashes you the list, and it's just row after row after row of things. Yeah. If one of you want to make a study to try to snag that real fast, or a survey, something
along
those
lines. Yes, I will
do
study. Ooh. 3 is the highest.
You're not able to get a number. You're able to get like the sequences of numbers. They're very like 1257, 1258, 1259 sort of items. He's like, typically you guys have tickets, but today's just been a mess. So if you give me the item number, I can get it for you.
I do apologize. I believe the number was something something 52. 1252? I can't quite remember, so it might not be the same one.
Can you...
I mean, we can see it right there.
Go
what's
ahead.
What's that one?
Let's see. And he looks back and he sees the thing. He's like, oh, you guys have that. Well, give a... That's special. That.
Yes, we know. That's why we're here.
Right. Well, that requires more authority than I... Let me go get my boss, and I'll be back as soon as I possibly can. And he sort of hands the clipboard to somebody else to start to continue the flow of progress while he sort of gestures to you guys to pull your cart around. And he's like, just wait right there, I'll be back. And walks off to go get his boss. Now, you have the option to continue to do what you're doing, and because it seems like it's going well, or you can just try to steal it right now.
I mean, we could just, because he told us to pull up the cart around next to it, we could like start the unloading process and just be like, oh yeah, we just want to get a head start on it. You're here to check us off, cool, and then as cover if we don't get to get away before he gets back.
Okay. It is rather heavy, so we'll just do a base prowess. So however many pips you have in prowess on the left-hand side of the line, we'll call that good, and if one of you want to lead the group activity, that's fine, or if one of you wants to say, I'm going to assist the other and take a stress, that's fine.
I'll assist.
All right, so you get 3 total dice.
3 fives.
Nice. So you guys are able to start loading it onto the thing.
While we're doing that, can I study the box to see if there is an item number on it?
You don't actually have to study. It's not a box. It sort of has a tag on it. Mm. The item is just like 1787.
I will make note of it, but I'll try not to be as engaged. I've seen it, so I'm just going to keep it to memory.
As you guys go to pick this thing up by yourselves, the person that got handed the clipboard immediately turns around and tries to stop you.
Oh.
And tells you to set it down, that it's not your job. That's not how things operate here. You do not touch the product until it's been loaded onto your cart. And we're going to start another clock for you all.
I'm going to put a scowl on my face and walk up towards the guy.
Sema's just going to look really bored, like someone who's not paid enough to deal with the situation.
What do you want to happen as you walk up to this man with a scowl?
I'm going to look at him and say... Do you know how important this is?
And he says, I don't care how important it is. It doesn't go anywhere until it goes through the proper procedures. It's marked right here that it needs extra. And he like shows you the list and how it like it's marked and how it needs extra signage, basically extra approval before it can be moved.
We are here to pick up a very important item, and you're hindering that.
I'm not hindering. I'm doing my job.
Well, it could be done quicker.
Are you trying to convince him to let you load it in, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Okay, what would you like to...
Would consort?
Due to the fine identity that Summer was able to craft, bolstering your already, like, I am from the Academy, I am one of the higher-ups, this is my duty kind of thing, I'm going to say, yeah, consort would be fine since you're using connections even if they don't technically exist, but you wouldn't get the additional thing from your... disguise, but you would get the additional thing from the thing since it's a fine. Both of you have fine equipment on right now, essentially. So you would have greater effect this time, but you're in a risky situation.
4
He, much like Summer, is just like, I don't get paid enough. You know what? Do what you want. If you get in trouble, that's yours. But it is going to fill a pip on your clock of being hindered. Through all that, let's go ahead and go back to Colm. Colm, they have weaved through the tiny streets in between, going through some alleyways to get back onto the main street, and are making their way there. We'll say two pips have filled just by their naturally traveling.
Yep.
Do you want to try and slow them down again?
Are they still like navigating alleyways, or are they more on the street?
No, they got to the other main street of the market, which if you like follow it out, it's one of the ones that leads to the Six Towers district.
May I ask, you don't have to tell me if you feel it's too much information. Would I know how much more it would fill up if I stall for a moment to give time, like breathing room before I get them to kind of just do the thing?
So without any intervention, it's going to fill up, I would say probably about three ticks, leaving three left.
Okay. Yeah, so I will then try to stall them again. Entire time again, I've still been trying to more of a shadow stealth, just like trying not to draw attention to intervene. That being said, what I have in mind is to possibly, hopefully break a wheel on the carriage as it's moving.
Ooh.
But that'd be a little bit tricky for me to do. What I have in mind, and I'm not sure if it'd be enough to force like a break in the wheel is the problem.
Would you like to do a flashback?
Yes, let's do a flashback. So Colm's not very good at tinkering, but he's seen a few things done here and there. What he'll try to do is get something that will more or less break the spokes on the wheel to make where they have to replace it to keep going. Something that might, like, you know, just shatter the wheel. It's something that seems like it would definitely be explosive. Something he had in mind is maybe to try and just use a rope to catch it, but I don't think that'd be enough force to break it.
We'll say, basically, due to your friend in the blue coats, you were able to get a hold of a wagon wheel clamp, which is something they utilize when trying to stop wagons that refuse to stop. Wherever, when the wagon drives under it, it launches up and grabs hold of their wheel and makes it harder for it to move.
Nice, okay.
You will, however, since you're able to, you have a friend in the blue coats, I was going to make this have two or more stress, since, you know, it's very unlikely and like very complicated to get these items typically, but due to your friend, we'll just make it one stress. I will say you won't have to roll for anything, and I will say these guys are now more on guard to being slowed down, because that's a little weird.
That is very conspicuous for them to be like, oh, someone's trying to stop us now.
Back at the primary goal here, you guys were able to get it back on the thing. The boss came out and started talking to you. Actually, once you get it onto the cart, are you just going to try and drive off, or are you going to wait and try to do the rest of the paperwork?
No. So as he kind of says, just do whatever you want, I'll say, all right, well, we're going to get it loaded, and hopefully your manager comes out here as soon as possible so we can get all this sorted. And then we start loading.
You guys get it loaded into the cart, and as you're sitting there waiting, you hear a loud crack echo through the space, and the crowd and the workers sort of start bursting into pandemonium and panic. Through the crowd, you're able to see a group of people start pushing their way through toward the electro car. And that's where we're going to end it.
What?
Ooh.
Greetings, scoundrels. Devlin Oliver here, stopping by to say thanks for listening. If you enjoyed listening to us scramble for a bit of coin, why not give us a like or follow? There are plenty of misadventures to come for our little conglomerate. Keep an ear out for the next episode. And while you're at it, give a little listen to the other shows on this feed. And since we're already breaking the fourth wall, go and join us on the Discord where there's plenty of space to blabber on. You can find all the usual links in the episode description. Thanks again for listening. Can't wait to see you there!
Hey, thank you all for listening. Big thanks, of course, to our players. They are Nolan Brubaker as Colm McCugg, Michael Petit as Devlin Oliver, and Olivia Sarver as Summer Locke. I, of course, am the GM, Jenkins. Music in the show is composed by Michael Petit, and additional music by Jordy Hake. This work is based on Blades in the Dark, a product of 1/7 Design, developed and authored by John Harper, and licensed for our use under the Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 Unported License. Information for Blades in the Dark and the license can be found in the description.
that I couldn't. I saw his feet every time I thought about it.
And you can't remember his face. Yeah.
No, okay, I can't remember his face because I never looked at it.
And he said, I didn't want you to see my face.
Well, you do have lovely feet.
I have to write that one down.
I kind of want that as a soundbite.
Yes. Glad I said it in an accent.